Hello and welcome to Throwback Theater, the show where we take a look back at some of our favorite movies from when we were kids. My name is Eric Lutz.
Hey, aloha, I'm DJ.
Buona noche, Kio Lucas.
I don't know what that means. What does that mean? Hello?
And good night.
Oh, I'm Chris.
And all the way from the West Coast, it's your boy, Lee.
Happy to have everyone here. Thank you so much for watching this movie. Not with me, we're socially distancing, but I'm glad that you're all here to actually answer some of my questions, because a lot of the times we watch these movies and I feel like I know by the end if I liked it or not, and this is not one of those movies. I kind of need your help to determine whether or not I liked it. I think I did.
I'm excited to talk about it.
I'll kind of land on that. I think I liked it. So, who all watched this when they were kids?
I actually took my grandmother's copy that she had on VHS in a clamshell that I watched as a kid, and I took that, and that's how I watched the movie, which I wanted to share with you guys. I was going to save it, but I might as well just tell you now. I found in that clamshell copy this mail-in, no postage necessary Walt Disney survey for The Big Green, and it asks like how you watched it, did you like it, who did you watch it with, what is your age, and I want to fill it out and send it in. And
you should.
Yeah,
you most definitely should.
I might get something back from Disney, so I wanted to share that with everybody. That's how fresh the VHS was.
Wow. How often do you think your grandma watches this?
Every day.
Oh, she's a big Green fan. She's a big Gutenberg head.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Lee, did you watch this?
It's one of those ones that I never like went out of my way to watch, but like at friends' houses or sleepovers, it would be put on, so I'd catch bits and pieces.
Okay. Wait, did anyone not see this when they were a kid?
I've watched it.
Yeah, okay.
I've
seen it too.
I think it was really popular. To me, it was sort of like an Angels in the Outfield because it's the same writer.
Yeah, and the woman who wrote that directed this movie.
Right.
Yes.
And then
nothing else. Really.
Yeah, and that was it. So I
thought this was kind of like a spiritual sequel to The Sandlot.
Yeah.
It has two of those kids in it.
Right.
Yeah.
Is it made after or before The Sandlot?
After.
Yeah, I think after.
Yeah, because Sandlot's, what, 93?
93?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I believe.
I would say this is extremely popular. At least I kind of thought it was when I was a kid. I thought it was popular.
I think it was.
Here's a question I'm going to pose before we get into it. Do you think... I think soccer was really popular when I was a kid. Do you think it was because of this movie, or do you think soccer was popular before this movie?
I will make an argument that I think the only reason this movie exists as is in 1995 was because in 1994, the United States hosted for the first time ever the FIFA World Cup in U.S. soil. And it was a big deal because the United States was the first country to kind of sparse it out, the venues, and they were always like very full. They brought a lot of people in, and I think it was like the first time that American audience got introduced, like the people who were not into soccer before,
that we cared about soccer.
Yes, I think that was like the first time. Was like 94 was when soccer became a thing in the United States. And then 95, I think Disney was just cashing in on the idea that soccer is popular. Let's like make the Mighty Ducks soccer version.
Well, this movie starts out with an animated goat.
Yeah. I like that goat.
Yeah.
It's a cartoon goat.
I like it because there's
not
no soundtrack.
Not music either. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also really goofy.
Yeah.
Animated.
That's how it opens. Like, meow,
meow. Yeah.
Does the goat say it to the Big Green?
It does say Big Green.
Big Green. Big Green.
Well, that was a little bit of like the tone of this movie, was that it had goofy elements, but also very serious elements.
This movie really likes to use fast forward.
Yeah, I noticed that.
There's like five six scenes. No, not well.
I don't think you can use fast forward well, necessarily, to be honest. But
I'm trying to think of it.
It was like a, you know, Little Rascals did that. It was kind of one of those like kid gimmicks back in that 90s.
I think on Disney movies.
Yeah.
Live
action,
sure.
At least.
Because I think they're trying to make it be funny, but the speeding makes it less funny
It's Keystone Cops.
But I don't even know if it back then would have been funny. But let's delve into what the movie is about.
Somebody tell me about the first scene, because it's kind of weird.
I had totally forgotten it, and as soon as it started happening, I was like, oh my god, it was such like a nostalgia like wave where I was like, I remember this. So it just starts with four kids on a bike who pedal out to a field, and it's hazy and they lay out in the field and they dump Cheetos on each other.
To a very sad song, yeah. By the way.
Yeah, it's kind of well, they live in a really shitty place, which I forgot. I didn't realize they lived in a shithole.
Elma, Texas.
Yeah, shithole. And they dump Cheetos on each other, and then pigeons come and just eat the Cheetos.
They say they do this every week.
Yes. Because there's not much to do in Elma.
No, that's what they do for fun.
Pigeons eat Cheetos off your chest.
Come on, kids. Haven't you ever heard of drugs?
And then right off the bat, we get our first, like, fast-forward moment where the teacher sees them and panics because she thinks they're being attacked by birds?
Which?
Yo.
That fast-forward is...
Or their corpses.
Yeah. Either way, she's like, get away from them.
That's where I jumped to too, Lee. I thought she might have thought these are dead kids getting eaten by birds.
Ford was like that the first time that you see that this movie, I feel like, tonally does not know what it wants to be.
Yeah.
But
right, because it's a dramatic, it's a sad song, and then these kids do something weird, and you're like, what the hell are they doing?
Yeah.
And then it cuts to the fast time running where it's Goofy and she's spraying a hose. And they play
like a little like fast like pace like. Yeah. Like that's completely different from before. It's not like a different version of that same song. It's just like a weird like beat, and it's real fast, and it's just unnecessary. Like, why would you need to fast forward that? Just like have her grab the cut. That's what editing is for. Just she sees it, cut. She has a hose.
Because they were like, this movie's 5 minutes too long. You need to... And they were like, we're not losing any footage. And then so they just sped up a bunch of scenes.
Too long.
No, I'm kidding.
Well, it's also interesting, too, because I feel like it introduces these four boys, but I feel like not really any of them are, like, any of the main soccer kids other than the...
You're correct.
Right?
Yeah.
It was a little... It was such a weird... Because I thought, oh, these are going to be our characters.
The goalie. One of them is the goalie.
Yeah, and he's really the only main character out of all four of those
Nick
people.
Loses the penalty shootout at the end.
He does as well, but...
It's more that we get an introduction to the teacher, who's British.
Right.
Right.
And Fox. But she's coming to teach in Elma, Texas, which is like, ugh.
It's a weird exchange program she got into.
Well, that's what I thought was interesting was this movie, when you would think it would revolve more about the kids, it's more about actually the teacher and, you know,
which again, which,
Deputy Dog.
Yeah, it's Deputy Dog.
Why do they call him Deputy Dog?
No idea.
Okay.
I was wondering that the whole time. I was like, why is that? Is Deputy Dog a cartoon character?
Is
that where
so?
That comes from? Like, it sounded familiar, but I was like, why do they keep calling him Deputy Dog?
I thought it was because, like, there was, like, a in-town rumor of him just always going after chicks or something.
Oh, maybe.
I mean, and they called him a dog. It's like, that's, like, kind of, they make fun of him for it.
But they don't set that up right before, besides that line.
No.
There's
no,
they're just like, hey, Deputy Dog.
They do it a lot.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So they also say things in unison a lot in this movie. So, like, the teacher introduces herself, and they're just like, no way! Like, everyone says everything at the same exact time.
Yes.
Yeah, they do
have
that.
Have you ever done that in real life?
No, only by accident. Yeah. Only by accident.
Always. My entire, we said the rosary together, and great, of course we did. And our father, and...
So it cuts to the classroom then, and, well, I'm at the town.
Well, before that, one more thing with the birds. If that was your like your entertainment, right? Like, and that's like fine. Like the birds are eating off you, but like, wouldn't you expect it to then be covered in bird shit?
One kid, Larry, does say it pooped on him.
Yeah. Oh, does okay?
He does. He does.
That checks out then.
Yep. So yes, yeah.
Which
that's
not
what
the first time that he gets into poop in this movie.
Yeah.
A lot of poop jokes in this movie with Larry.
Yeah.
Which I loved Larry in this movie.
He's
agree.
In the catcher in the Sandlot. He's been in a few other things. He's
in
funny.
X-Files.
Is he?
Yeah.
He's in an episode, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And it's like a lighthearted comic episode.
As a kid or as an adult?
I mean...
He's like a teenager.
He's a teenager, okay.
He's in the failed boys club as a kid.
Is he?
Yeah. He's okay. Him and the...
Squints.
Yeah, Squints.
Yeah, I mean, everything he does in this movie is pretty charming.
He seems like he's probably just a funny kid. Like, there's moments where they clearly just told him, they were like, just do something goofy, and he just does something, and it works. It's, like, funny.
Because I was reading, this getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, that no one in this movie... knew what soccer was necessarily, or how
they
to play
know how
soccer.
To play it, right?
Except Juan, who shows up late. The actor who plays Juan knew soccer, and this is the only movie that kid has ever done. And we'll get to his introduction and
so
and that message before, because there's other stuff that happens before.
Yeah. Well, okay, so Juan cuts to they get introduced to their new teacher who's British, and she's come over for an exchange program. And it cuts from them in the field with the birds to like the classroom, right?
Yeah.
Okay, the classroom is also super weird because they go to like an old timey schoolhouse where there's like the young kids and the older kids, and like there's seemingly nobody else. There's 12 kids in this school, and that's it.
Yeah. Does that exist in some towns? School?
I don't know.
It does.
Today in America?
It must.
Yes, it does.
I bet it does.
My brother, when he did exchange program in America, he was placed in Judith Gap, Montana, which is a village city of like 200 people. And their high school, his graduating class was like 10 people, 12 people.
Wow.
And they had a football team, which was a combined three different
schools, right? Yeah, okay.
They were like far away, and they would just kind of like get together to play football. Which
did they have a school teacher with a bell and a gingham skirt?
Who would that, I don't know. But so, yes, I feel like that those still exist, especially in bigger states. They're just like wide and they have like a lot of space.
Oh, I like that her first question to the class is, oh, tell me something about you. Wait, what makes you special?
It's real dark.
Larry's answer?
It's real dark.
Does anyone know Larry's answer?
I have it.
Oh, yeah. He just said, I remember, yeah. My dad has a job.
And the rest of the class is like,
Everyone
else is unemployed here.
Larry's dad. Larry's dad.
Fucking Kate has a knife.
Yeah.
She does have a knife.
And they're just, I guess
it's cool.
Are you going to do a school shooting in a school with 14 kids? I don't know. Like, it's just, you can carry a knife.
And Larry's dad is also the bartender, right? That's his job.
Yeah,
yeah.
And also they do have the twins have they said we have asthma and they bring in these. I had asthma as a kid, the same age.
They have like iron lungs in their desk.
Giant ass fucking
yes,
asthma.
And my asthma inhaler was not that big.
No,
I was growing up on the same fucking time.
This is a poor person's asthma inhaler.
It can. I feel like there's more plastic. There's more expensive.
Yeah. I like the other kid's answer too is like, oh, my parents are divorced. Thanks for reminding me. That's what makes him special is his parents are divorced.
And, you know, with Eric talking about the knife with Katie, then the more you unravel Katie's backstory, it makes sense why
it's a little dark.
Why she has a knife.
It's pretty dark.
A little.
It's a little dark.
Hers is very heavy.
Well, Squints also brings up Reaganomics.
Yeah.
What a stab at Reagan. Like, okay. Well, so jabs.
So the class, they're kind of, they have the lowest test scores in the state.
Of Texas.
They're kind of, they're.
Which is, this is Texas. That's rough.
Really bad. That's a big fucking state.
So the teacher gets fed up on trying to teach them because they're being jerks. There's one kid that just burps. Trying to think
the
of other.
Asian kid.
He burps the alphabet.
Is it tech or tan? Tech.
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 Tang?
Tack.
And the teacher rips off the globe and does some cool head. What are those called, Lucas? Head bounces.
I don't think they're called.
There should have a name.
It's like a head juggle.
In Portuguese, they're called embaixadas.
We just call it that.
Embaixadinha.
Okay, great.
How do you say it?
Embaixadinha.
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 And so here's the thing. So they start to play soccer, they're really bad, but then the teacher drops this bomb, which is bizarre. She said, I signed you all up for a soccer tournament that started last week in Austin. We have to go tomorrow.
Okay. I have a big thing before, even because Steven Gutenberg is introduced before this.
Good point. Good point.
He's the sheriff of the town.
Mm-hmm. He's also great.
I mean, he's great in this movie. But Steven Gutenberg is in this movie, and he plays the sheriff of this town.
No, he's the deputy. He's not the sheriff.
He's the deputy.
There is a sheriff has a scene.
Yes, he does show up.
He's the deputy. He's like Andy Griffith. Like, he doesn't carry a gun.
No. He cares nothing for what's going on necessarily, because like, there's clearly no crime.
Yeah, he's got a cowboy hat and a badge.
100 people, like, city. And
which you think there'd be a lot more crime in Elma.
But he shows up and he does his little thing, and they also do when she first does the which also that globe would be hard. I don't think you could do those head juggles with that type of globe.
She just rips it off the stand.
No, she literally just grabs it, and they mention what's with this globe, and the kids even say, oh, it's broke. Because like, this is clearly like a,
well, they're learning geography or geology. What's
same thing. Same thing. That was one of those lines that they totally let him.
Yeah, they were like
himself.
They just let him riff.
Well, but also they do after that. She's like, oh, like, what about? She's trying to understand, like, teaching. Oh, this is football. I was like, well, that's not football. And it's like, oh yeah, that's right. Because I'm from England. You guys say that this is soccer. And they do, it's like, oh, soccer is for foreigners. And all these little kids just says, well, we're Americans. We don't like soccer. And
sounds about right.
It cuts away. Yeah. And
this is like when we talked to you and Matt at college for the first time.
Yes. Yeah. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. But then you bring a good point with the, which was like, that's the point in this movie that I was like, this is my issue with this movie.
Oh boy.
Is the fact that she first her second day in school, maybe a whole week in school, and she decides to
she's give taking up. Liberties with these children.
No. She decides to give up. Ah, fuck geography. Let's go play soccer. I love soccer. Nothing to do with geography.
I thought they were going to use it to be like to learn geography. Where they're like, oh, if I hit it to you, like you say this country or use and like, but no, they don't. No, they just play soccer.
They just
play
soccer.
The education part of it just like goes out the way.
You never see them teach again or like learn again.
And that scene is pretty much supposedly.
That's not true. They learn what makes them special.
But supposedly that scene takes place like the whole them practicing for the first time soccer, like here's passing. And the same fucking scene is when she comes out and says what you just said, that, oh yeah, I just put us into an Austin championship. It's like, when did you have the time first to call Austin and be like, hey, you have a championship? I have a team.
You're from England.
You don't have a team, first of all.
Do you know where Austin is? Well, she teaches geography, so I guess
she also does not have a full team to begin with.
They also show up completely. They show up in street clothes.
They don't have any
I was
gear.
So mad. And then, he's also upset that they're, not doing well at first.
Yeah.
So, these kids have never had a single practice.
No.
And they're starting to go.
So they show up to play soccer and they show up woefully unprepared. Yeah. They
I agree
have a boy and girl team, which I guess they're in an all male league.
It's illegal because even they
and the coach of the other team is like, they're those they're the villains in every sports movie. Sure. They're they got all the nice gear. They're dressed in black.
They look like Nazis.
The coach is an old. High school sports rival.
He's the same bad guy from Angels in the Outfield.
Yes, he is. He's Ranch.
Do you think this was before Angels in the Outfield?
I was thinking I think this is what Ranch did after he was fired.
After he was fired?
From the ballpark,
It was because the writer of Angels in the Outfield is judged for this one, so she probably just saw how good he was in that one as a bad guy and just brought him in. But it was the fact that... Oh, goalie.
Oh yeah, he was really getting off on the fact that they were destroying this team that was half their age.
It was hard at halftime.
He makes fun that they are a girl team and they have a tiny Newt is in the team and they just find him because they need 11 players because they don't have any subs first of all, and they're playing. I don't know how soccer in high school works or middle school in America.
Yes,
but I assume that you either play at least a good hour of soccer.
It can be short. When you're younger, it's not as long.
Sure. Even then, you're still playing 45 minutes of a sport. There's no timeouts.
Can we get to Newt real quick before we even get to the first game? Because they have to go recruit Newt. Because Newt is not part of the older kids' class. He's, I guess, either A, homeless, or B, part of the young kids' class. Unclear.
He's definitely part of it. Because he has parents. They show up on the training.
Yeah, but
he's bringing that wagon of show-and-tell stuff.
He forages, garbage.
There's nothing to do in that town.
Yeah, so he just collects junk.
Yeah.
Can we talk about who Newt is now?
It's Bug Hall.
Yeah, Bug Hall from
The Stupids.
Yes.
And
The Little Rascals.
He's in this movie.
Yeah, who also recently got into some legal trouble.
Oh yeah, what happened?
In June of this year, he was arrested on drug charges.
We all have once or twice.
Seemingly for the rest of his career, he seems actually doing okay. I guess he does he does some composition for movies.
Yeah, I saw
and
he
stuff.
Did the soundtrack for Baby Driver or helped on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it just me or I could have sworn in the very beginning of this movie it said that Newt was played by two different people?
Nope.
I thought it said and so as Newt. Yeah, he got his own special credit, which was weird.
I agree. And we were having a discussion about this before we recorded.
What had he done before this that he was
Little Rascals.
That was it?
That's it.
I guess that was it. That launched him into stardom.
He looked younger in this, I thought, than he did.
So did I. He looked, because he looks really, he's supposed to be small, but he looks tiny.
Tiny, yeah.
Yeah.
So they recruit Newt because they don't have enough kids. So we're on the team. The kids show up in street clothes and just get annihilated. It's 18-0 at halftime.
No, which, to be fair, I'll say that for the Knights, which are the bad team, the villains of this movie, 18-0 for a team that does not even know where to stand. They don't know.
It should have been higher.
Oh, yeah.
Four goals.
Yeah, no, 18-0 is nothing.
Mercy game ending?
That's what I was waiting for, is that the mercy rules.
No, they
just
don't
call
have,
the game.
They don't have a mercy rule because the referee just lets the ref also has a great mullet in that whole first sequence. It's hilarious.
There's also one of my favorite moments, and I remember this as a kid, where the referee points to the Knights goalie. He sort of waves that he's ready, and he points to the big green goalie, Larry, and he waves and he goes, "Hi!" hi, I'm Larry.
Yeah.
It's definitely a great scene.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Also, I will say that for this, for the most of this movie, Larry is definitely one of the highlights of this.
Shining star, yeah.
Because every game that they have, Larry is afraid.
Yeah.
And every single time that he's playing any team, he just imagines them as villains.
That's what I remember. Yeah. This movie would not be the same without that.
No, yeah. Yes. I think makes that...
They're so simple, but they're so fun. I wrote down all of them.
They're hilarious.
He sees ninjas, knights, Vikings, zombies, pirates, and then there's... The motorcycle guys? Who are they?
Terminators.
Oh, yeah. He calls them Terminators.
Yeah. Also, one team was called The Walking Dead. I just think that's a strange name.
Was that
for
the name of
child.
The team, or is that just what Larry sees?
I thought that was also what he saw.
That's what I thought.
But
they're all based out of things that he, from their names.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what is that team name?
I don't know. Oh. I don't think they show it.
Right, which is, it's a weird thing. That's all I'm saying. I'm just making a little.
The zombies, maybe?
They might be the zombies. Yeah. I don't know.
Which, this also brings me to the point that they do, which is jumping a little bit ahead, is the fact that when they start getting their montage, as all these movies have the montage of
montages
the team getting better, and they
get better very quickly.
They do, because there's no games in between.
Well, they lose the first game, and then they
lose the first two games.
Yeah, and then they tie, and then they win five straight.
Yes, but like, you don't see them playing any of those games until
Juan's that good.
They practice for a long time, which, and then we're gonna get to Juan, who has not even introduced yet in the movie.
Juan?
They call him Juan.
Juan?
This is Juan.
A lot.
So, but I guess just. Yeah. If we can get to that point, Juan is, because the team lost real bad. They were sort of low, and they go, and then they get a new player. They go home, they get a new player in their classroom, Juan, who's introduced as Juan.
Who's from Mexican heritage.
Yep.
Or Latin America heritage, at least.
And he's really good at soccer and basically saves the team.
He's not allowed to play at first.
Right.
Yeah, his mother won't let him.
Yes, she doesn't want him to play.
And then all the kids have to show up at their trailer and be like, please.
Because how can you turn that down?
Lane, what do you guys say?
What do you guys think about them bringing in, like, it's kind of also similar in The Sandlot, like a foreign kid who's, like, naturally good at the sport?
Yeah.
I just thought it was a little weird.
I agree with you, Lee. I completely agree. I think that's why it was, like, weird. It's just, like, of course.
You don't want to accept reality, Lee? White men aren't as good as people.
It's a funny thing. I was talking to Eric before the show started that when they made this movie, only one kid of the whole cast knew how to play soccer, and it was Juan.
Yeah, I don't want to go out and say that like, all people of Latino descent are good at soccer, but I will say the majority of white people are clumsy and awkward. So, by comparison.
I don't even say white, because there's a lot of Europeans who are white.
You're very
at soccer. And Americans.
For Texas, it was probably, if you're going from like ratios, probably the most diverse class in all of Texas.
Yes, I
there's
agree.
There's nine kids in the class. There's two black people.
Yeah,
there's an Asian kid. That's hell. If you look at Texas, numbers
Disney
for
movie.
Texas,
for Elma,
it's the most diverse school.
The town is so
it's
thirsty for
town.
Sports that, like, they get fucking into this grade school.
Yeah, junior high soccer saves
they're, like,
this town.
There's the scene at the bar, and all the guys at the bar have, like, soccer magazines, and they're so desperate for something.
Did you also see what's in that bar scene? Sitting at the bar?
Is there a porno?
No, there's a dog just like sitting at the bar stool.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I totally missed it, because they
I'm pretty sure, I'm 99% sure, because my wife and I were watching the movie together, and we just like start cracking up, because like it's
during
with
the
dog
where it pans across the bar. Yeah, there's a dog there.
Yeah,
I totally missed
there's a
that.
Dog just sitting there like at the bar, and then every other dad is just reading.
I'm surprised it wasn't
soccer
a
magazines.
Yeah,
which by the way, where all these fucking dads bought that magazine?
I don't know if they're all dads. I think they're just town folk who are like they're so desperate for anything good in the town that they're just into. They just go all in on this. This children's soccer team.
Let's not forget about Katie's dad, who the first time the first time we're introduced to him, he's smoking a cigarette at a gas station.
Yeah, that was my initial thought. I was like, he's pumping gas and smoking
a
cigarette.
Give a fuck.
Well, he's trying to pump gas. They won't let him have gas because he owes too much money already.
He's behind his bills.
I have a real quick tangent story that's not related
please
to
do.
This, but probably the trashiest thing I've ever seen was at a gas station in Maryland. This guy was smoking a cigarette, as he was filling up his truck, but that's not all. His the back of his truck was full of landscaping equipment, like a lawnmower, a small push mower, like hedge trimmers and stuff. And his like three-year-old like little girl was also just sitting back there,
like in the bed,
in the bed of the truck, as he's doing that. And then he pulls forward, double parks in both handicap spots, goes in the gas station,
flick the butt at her,
goes in, and yeah, he leaves her in the bed of the truck. This is outside of Ocean City, Maryland, and he gets back in the truck and drives away. So that's
was it. Was it Katie's dad?
It might have
been. Was that Katie in the back of the truck?
They drove all the way to Elma after that.
Wow! I hope he called CYS.
yeah, boy. But I do like, so one of my favorite scenes, there's a lot of montages. This is kind of a typical 90s
the go-kart
sports.
One.
There's, yeah.
And then the one, Steve Guttenberg teaches, lets kids drive his police cruiser at one point.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah. That was my favorite scene.
It's like,
scene.
All right, everyone gets one turn. It's like,
I love it. I love it.
I agree. I thought that scene is great. I feel like
it was on the road.
No, they're in like a field.
But they start
the song
road.
Is On the Road Again.
Oh, On the Road. Oh, yeah, that is what plays.
On the Road Again. They do, in this movie they have, which is, I think is their saving grace, is that they have a lot of cute moments like that, which is like the, but again, like they are unwarranted.
The soccer in the rain scene is pretty cute. That works really well. Yeah. And the parents all get involved, and they're all playing in the mud.
Yeah, it's nice. I did like that.
Which also, did anyone see in the second game that they show that they lose, I think it's Larry's dad has a t-shirt that he keeps coming up to it more than once in the movie. And I don't know if anyone saw it.
You're building the anticipation. I'm very excited. I'm excited.
Because it just says, there are 24 hours in a day, 24 beers in a case, and that's it. And that's the shirt that he has in the
back. He's a bartender. Yeah, that's.
And I was like, oh, this. I feel like this sums up Elma.
Speaking of Larry's dad, to cut ahead at the final game, Larry's sitting in the truck. Someone else want to share it?
No, go ahead.
He's sitting in the truck. He's like, Dad, he gets out of the car. He's like, come on, Larry. Dad, I'm too afraid to get out of the truck. I'm too afraid to go. And his dad just goes, get out of the truck! Like everything else, he's like super supportive, but that one moment he screams.
It's so awkward because then the next scene he's like, "All right, Larry, good job, break a leg," and like that's on the back. Oh, and he also says that she's like, "Oh, honey, we look like a bunch of hicks." He's like, "Dear, I hate to break it to you, we are a bunch of hicks."
So after they lose their first two games, they have this weird montage, which. This again, that comes to my problem with this movie is the fact that she's supposed to be a teacher from England to help these kids who are clearly the less. They suck at the tests for
the
state.
She has to make them feel good about themselves first.
Yes, but we never see them do anything for their schoolwork.
No, it is kind of an issue.
They just completely throw it out of the ground.
Like, it's not like soccer somehow helps them, or they use soccer to learn, where they're like, okay, like, you know how you pass here? Like, okay, like, in 1970 so and so, they passed this legislation to, like, you know, they don't.
If you score two goals, you have 2-2, it's like 4.
Yeah, math is super easy.
They don't do anything
until the very end.
But yes, but they show it as one shot, and we'll get there first. But like, because they do, because that's what my problem is. Like, they do, they suck. They get Juan to be part of the team, and then they start. I think they tied the first game, and then there's a montage that shows them practicing. And for that whole montage, which takes a long time, it's a whole like whole song.
A lot of montage.
It's like it's a 4-minute song.
No, montage
of them practicing, and. They don't play a single soccer game in that montage. So I assume that they do the whole montage in a day.
They had to recover from their first game where they, A, didn't have shin guards, and then, B, in their second game where they used egg cartons and bubble wrap and duct tape to
make the shin guards. I think that's hilarious.
Yeah, Gutenberg just has a box, and he's like, oh, my daddy always said you could make anything out of duct tape. She's like, what is all that? He's like, shin guards. He apparently gained 12 pounds for this movie.
Yeah.
Wow. He was dedicated to this role.
Gutenberg. I can't believe this is our first Gutenberg movie.
I'm kind of surprised that, too, because I love a good... I'm a Gutenhead.
A whole 12 pounds, you don't say.
It also, dedication. Shows. I mean, he does
look pudgy. Yeah. But also, does he need to?
No, I think they were like, your character eats Twinkies, and he was like, I'm committed. And he gained 12 pounds.
I think their idea is also that he's supposed to be the last... glimmer of hope of the city.
Because they have like the old,
the
70s. Like Al Bundy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's always talking about, he's wearing his championship football ring.
When the city of Elmo was like popular with football.
No, he was the uncle from Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah, Uncle Rico.
Yeah. Yeah. How much you want to bet I could throw a football to the mountain?
What you got? Listen up, midgets. Listen here, midgets.
Oh, yeah, he calls the kids
He keeps
that.
Calling the kids midgets, and at one point, they're just like, stop calling us that. She's like, stop calling them midgets.
A lot of montages, like we said, there's a tractor scene, they run around. Really, the only thing you need to know...
It's a go-kart, Eric.
It's a go-kart. There's...
And the cat, well, that's how they clean their the big green.
The big green, which they name
the
after their field.
Complex. Yeah. Yeah, the cows eat the grass, and they're like, oh, it looks awesome.
The only thing we really need to know, sort of getting, just moving along into the final, is that the bad guy comes down and kind of rats. He doesn't rap, but he gets the word out.
He turns Juan in.
He works for the IRS, right?
He does work for the IRS.
And he says he loves, because they're like, ugh. And he's like, I love my job. And they're like, ugh.
So Juan's missing, and so is his mom. And they go to the final game versus the Knights.
They call the immigration services. Mm-hmm.
And Juan is an American citizen,
legal,
by the way.
Yeah. He was born in America.
They put him in a cage. They don't feed him.
Yeah, this is
for the reboot.
Yeah, the third act gets real dark in the big green.
Yeah, it's COVID.
Well, because even for the third act, they set it up that their best player Juan gets run out of town because the bad guy realized that Juan is the best player, right, so he calls ICE.
The team's panicking,
and then the sheriff tells the deputy Stephen Gutenberg to. Oh, since you know who it is, you can just...
Yeah, that is the only scene that there's a sheriff is one scene. He's in one shot. Like, there's only one camera angle, and he's just like, yeah, oh, you know him? Well, you gotta go tell him to go leave.
Wrap him up.
Whatever.
Put them on the cage. But then the family runs away, and the game is still gonna go on, obviously. And Kate, it just gets real upset because her dad, in this whole movie, is a piece of shit. Doesn't care
for
it.
He's smoking cigarettes. He's a drunk.
He's a drunk. He's a.
He's the one who actually talks about.
He does mention that Juan's in trouble too. Yeah, he does mention that he's probably illegal.
Is he responsible for it, or he just offhandedly mentions that?
Gives him the idea, and then he gets him more drinks to.
Yeah, because then he buys him the next one. Ranch. I'm just gonna call him Ranch.
Yeah, Ranch, because he is Ranch.
I think that they kind of wrote to be that you could be both ways, but then decided to make the dad come back and be. Reunited and supportive to Kate.
Yeah, that's their little arc. He shows up to the last game and is cheering Kate on.
But then the next game is gonna start the big finale.
Her mom left him, by the way. I don't know if that was clear.
Yes,
but a lot of parents are involved, especially at this last game. So the Knights, they're playing the Knights again.
The number of people in the stands for this. Like great school
town.
Soccer game.
It's more than both teams.
Like because the Knights also have like an entire like grandstand of people.
Clearly, you guys weren't good at soccer when you were kids.
No, which I will mention because like it shows that some of the people in there they're not from Elma because they have a sign that says much like down the Knights go green. And I think
the Knights have a whole crowd.
Well, yeah, but I think that all the other teams would be losing because apparently the Knights are. Like they win every year.
Yeah, so they're the current champions.
Yeah, the Go Green fan base is not just the Go Green. It's not just Elma. It's everyone else who hates the Knights.
That's probably true.
That's how shitty the Knights are because the guy pretty much drills them as a.
He carries a sword.
He does,
and he has a bullhorn in one hand and he carries a sword in his other hand,
which is kind of funny. I will not.
I want to smell sweat. That's one of his lines.
I love all the bowl cuts that the Knights have. Like everyone on the Knight has like a sick bowl cut.
It's 1994.
Yeah, four. Yeah,
requirements.
Five.
At least when the movie came out, they probably shot in 94.
So the game happens. Larry has to face his fears. He uses those special goggles.
They also have a bet. Right.
What's the bet?
With
the ranch.
Ranch.
Yeah, Ranch. Ranch comes in and says. Oh, we always have a bet in the final.
To the very pretty, attractive British teacher.
Lady. Yeah. And
slash coach.
I'm divorced.
And he says, to himself, well, if we win, I want a kiss. I'm divorced. And then she's like, okay, if we win, you kiss the goat. It's also divorced.
I also want to talk about the goat real quick, because we haven't really mentioned the goat.
Oh, that's
there's
true.
A goat that it just lives outside of the schoolhouse.
Yeah.
And then kind of inadvertently becomes their mascot.
And it also comes with the first game.
He's everywhere. That one little girl just like constantly is like pulling the goat next to her, like almost like a dog.
They make fun of him the first game for bringing the goat.
Yeah, they're like, they have a goat and girls.
He just and
they mention oh, the goat was just there. And it's like, well, first of all, the goat is on the British lady's car.
That's what they're like. He was just in the car. We didn't bring him.
No, yeah.
I'm like, what does that mean?
Get the goat out of your car.
And they travel to Austin. It's like a 2-hour
drive. Yeah, it's at least an hour drive.
Yeah.
For the first game after no practice.
After I've never even known what soccer is, because they don't even know where to position themselves.
They
paint the goat green.
They paint the goat green. And Lee, do you have something to say? Were you flagging?
Nope.
Okay, I thought you were. let's see. What happens in the game. Also, Larry finally sort of faces his fears, and he's wearing sort of what all the other costumes are. He becomes part of the nightmare.
Yeah,
and then he freaks out the kid.
It's awesome.
Well,
it's the shootout. They tie the game, and it goes into overtime because Juan comes back after
halftime. Yeah, halfway time.
And same plot of Space Jam. And they have five players from each team do the shootout, and the anchor man for the big green is going to be Newt. Because he's the only one who volunteers. What's he say? He goes, I'm small, but like, I got him.
I'm small, I'm low to the ground, and I have a small kick. I'm your man.
I'm your man.
And I'm not afraid.
Yeah, they try to make that whole, like, I'm your man.
So it all comes down to Ranch's son, who's the best player on the Knights, going against Larry.
Which he announces to the entire audience through the blowhorn.
That's my son!
They should have had a shot of his son just like...
Dad, I want to dance. This isn't what I want.
Yeah. Why does he always
just foot loose?
And then Larry mind fucks him.
Yep. So at the very end there, Larry finally, and he actually is scared. Well, he catches it, but the Ranch's son is like freaked out by Larry. So.
He does. And then when he kicks the penalty kick,
Larry saves him. I love Larry's outfit. Because in his head, what Ranch's son is seeing is like he has like a...
The knight.
He has a knight. Sword, but he has like an Indian headdress.
Well, when we at Larry, because Larry pretty much is, when he becomes, because I think, who tells him to become part of the nightmare? Is it her?
I think it's the kid who gives him the glasses, right?
The goggles.
I thought it was the teacher, the coach.
Sure.
She said, well, be part of the nightmare. Like, if you have a nightmare, just be part of the nightmare. And he's like, all right. And then they're in the penalty shootouts. At that point, it's like 4-4. Is it the last two shots? Mm-hmm. If the guy scores, then Newt needs to score for you to keep going. And he finally sits up there, and then Tech gives him, like, the glasses. He's wearing the glasses, and he becomes part of the nightmare, and he just wears... all the outfits of all the nightmares that showed up before.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, vanquished teams.
Yeah, all the vanquished team, all the teams that they beat, which is like the knight. He has like a knight, like he has the sword. I think he has like the and headdress. Yep. He has like the part of like the pirates. He has part of like the zombies. So he has like become part of the nightmare. Like
so
he
stops it, and then Newt has to kick.
To score. And he's the tiny, 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 tiny
You'll
boy.
Never guess what happens.
And
he scores. That's fair. That's good.
In case you didn't hear that, he got a goal.
He scored.
Now, who scored?
The Newt.
So, the Newt. Wings. All right, so here's the end of the movie here. So they cheer, they rally. Ranch has to kiss the goat. And then
Katie and Juan kiss too, right?
Katie and Juan kiss, and Steve Guttenberg and the teacher kiss.
Yeah.
Even though she has to leave in 4 months.
That was my other thing. Yeah. I was like... Yeah. Suppose. There's no way she would choose. Like,
seems younger than him. No.
No. You'd make him come somewhere else, at least, if nothing else.
So, what I think this movie needed was... So, I think this movie needed one last sort of, like, falling action scene. Because I liked it, sort of, and then it just sort of ends. I mean, you see there's a billboard back in Elma their team, and this is where it says...
And the fourth highest score. In the test.
Fourth highest score on the test, which I don't know.
Oh, that's the resolution for their testing?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
They never showed them learning anything besides soccer in this whole movie.
Right. But all of a sudden, they're also smart.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it wasn't... Yeah.
But again, maybe it's about percentages. If you have 500 kids in a school and half of them fail it, whereas if you have 9 kids in a school and 6 of them pass it, like...
It's a numbers game.
I mean, you're not wrong in that... Mathematics.
They just should have showed something.
Yeah, Lee.
So as far as like the theme and the arc of this, the main character is seemingly the sheriff, right? Or the, sorry, the deputy.
Yeah.
Because that was my question.
I thought it was a teacher.
But the antagonist is his, is the coach of the other team, who is the rival of the deputy. So, like, I thought that was weird because a lot of these, like, sports Bad News Bears kind of stories have the opposing, like, star of the other team be the villain. Right. And
yeah,
and this was more like a personal thing with the deputy and his pride, and he was kind of using the kids to not only get the lady, but to make him feel accomplished.
Which they call him out on.
There's the one thing like, where he's like, trying to "Oh, that's my son," and he's like, "Where's your son?"
Yeah, exactly. So he doesn't have a son, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So it's weird to me because it's like. It's trying to be almost like a more drama piece with right. his storyline, but they're doing the whole kids sports movie.
That's
thing.
Like the same as Angels in the Outfield sort of did that.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. The issue with those movies, thematically, they don't know. Because, again, I would even say that the main character of the movie is not even Steven Gutenberg. It's just the kids.
It doesn't need to be one person.
But, yeah, I feel like it's vague enough. Though. Because I agree with Lee to the fact that, like, yes, like the villain is... the guy from Angels in the Outfield, the other coach, and they don't have like a build up. Like Steven Gutenberg is not built up to be
who has the biggest arc in this movie. Is it not Larry?
Larry, yes.
I mean, he overcomes
also Steve Gutenberg,
Kate's dad,
but
Kate's
even dad. Larry. I don't know. I feel like Larry's like the only.
He's the only one he faces. He actually has something he has to overcome.
Well, this is
but
one
that's
of
why
movies.
It falls flat.
I mean,
yeah. It's like, there's not one thing.
Well, he need to overcome
okay.
it. Then.
Okay, yeah.
No, that's just a soccer thing. He wouldn't have had that issue if it wasn't for her getting him into soccer.
I think you guys are looking at it from the wrong way. It's not what character is the main character because they have the biggest arc. It's that this woman came into town and actually had hope for the first time, the first person like ever
in
who believed
city.
In it.
Sure. Right.
And but, she just, it was supposed to show how one person's hope can change all these people's lives.
And they are a collective. They are the Big Green. They're together. They're one unit.
Yeah.
So that, I guess I have
a
problem.
Town.
I have a problem with it though, in the sense of like when you have movies like The Mighty Ducks, for example, you have a really good like coach dynamic in terms of his storyline and arc, and even with the kids himself, Sandlot's mainly kids. This movie, I felt like we weren't connected with those kids as much, other than the Larry stuff. And I felt like the Larry stuff was also more humorous than it was like a real, like, definitive arc.
Yeah.
So I just, that was my whole problem with this and why I didn't personally enjoy this was like, I don't know. I didn't care about the adults' storylines personally.
I think that it was a drama with a lot of heart. You know, like it was trying. It was trying to be lighthearted, and so there wasn't really parts that were comedic, other than like the fast motion, which were clearly done in post. And they just were like, "How do we make this a little bit more charming for kids?" But there were scenes that were like slightly amusing. Where I think that this is a good movie for like both kids and adults. My one biggest thing is that I wish that there was an end scene where the teacher has to go away, has to leave, and all the kids have to like. And Steve Gutenberg as well have to be like, no, don't force her to say leave. But like, they're okay with leaving because they're like happy now. And I almost wish that there was like, hey, there's a kid from the town next door. There's a new kid that showed up to the class. Well, we're going to teach you how to be soccer. Like that hope sort of spreads and it maintains. And
I think that's
sort of what that would have driven it home for me a little bit.
I mean, cause my issue with this is the same issue that I kind of have with like, even Angels in the Outfield is the fact that they try to make things cute and fast, but it doesn't fully work, and you can see because it's the same writer director kind of work in both of them, and there's issues with what the message is supposed to be here or what.
I don't think so.
I think it tries to be real cute. It's trying to be a Disney movie from
the
get-go. Yeah, but
which one did you like more?
Angels in the Outfield.
Really?
I disagree.
Mainly because the team there, when they're learning to be better, they already are a team. So there is a dynamic in here. Like, these people, they would never be this good at soccer.
No,
to be fair. Like, they would never be.
But it's the power of hope and positive thinking and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, but it doesn't work.
I think it works okay.
I don't think it works. I don't dislike the movie. I'll say.
Okay.
We'll wrap it up.
Well, that's sort of where we're getting at.
Let's wrap it up.
Yeah.
I think that the movie is, it works. It can be very cute.
Did your mic just fall over?
And dynamic.
How did that happen?
And it just, I don't think it fully works in, okay. In a full extent of what it is. It's not a bad movie.
Are you recommending this movie?
I would watch it with
does
my
it hold
kids,
up?
Yes.
That's all I'm saying.
It holds up? No. I would watch it again? Yes, I would. But no, I don't think it holds up. I think if you're watching, if I were watching with my child, I would. And I think it would be fun. Again, I watched with my wife, and she'd never seen it before. And she had a blast. Knowing as much as I do with like story structure and like learning this in school when I did it and being a writer myself, I don't think it works necessarily as they try to make it work.
Okay. Well, speaking of writers and all that stuff, I did want to mention some real quick sort of strange connections. We talked about Buck Hall and the guy from Angels in the Outfield, but it's the same editor as The Mighty Ducks. Ah. And the same composer as Indian in the Cupboard, both movies that we did on this. Does anyone want to guess the budget and box office?
$10 million.
Yeah, it's got to be not 12 a lot. All that money went to Gutenberg.
Okay, well, I'm just going to give it to it was $12 million for the budget. Yeah. Box office.
27.
You want to guess, Lee, DJ?
$30 million.
20.
23.
$400,000 million. No, it was $17.7 million. It only made $4.5 million opening weekend, but it was huge in VHS rentals.
That checks out because I have a copy.
Did you see the Rotten Tomatoes for this too?
No.
He has a zero on Rotten Tomatoes.
What? This movie has a zero?
out of only 5 reviews that they have there.
But you're telling me that this is better than The Stoop?
No,
this
I'm
is
not.
Worse than The Stoop.
I'm not saying that because there's also is a numbers game, and in the audience is about 46%
lower than I would have thought.
Out of like 36,000 reviewers,
it has a better.
I think
IMDb.
That's rough. Yeah.
IMDb is 5.6 out of about 10,000 reviews.
Yes, yeah. On Rotten Tomatoes by the critical thing, it's. Because it's a rehash of all the other Disney, like it's pretty much Mighty Ducks for soccer.
I liked it. I enjoyed it. Yep. I actually had a good time watching it. The pace moves really quickly, so I wasn't like waiting for something to happen. It keeps you going, and I was into it, and I actually smiled, and I enjoyed myself, and I was like, I would revisit this. I had a good time.
I agree with you, Lucas.
I mean, I would rewatch it. I think it's not the worst, but I don't think it's a good movie.
Oh, yeah. I had more fun watching Angels in the Outfield than I did this one, honestly. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, when we first started the concept of this podcast, this was in my mind as a movie that we would get to. And I think this really does kind of encapsulate what we're trying to go back and do, because this isn't a movie that people have seen since then. And
it's not talked about.
Yeah. And so I think that it is one that you should go back and watch, because it is watchable. It is entertaining, but it's not a masterpiece. It's not a true cinematic classic.
Yep.
I would say I like it as a 90s kids movie. It's nostalgic, and it has some charm. It's a perfect, hardly any of the movies that we watch are, right?
Lies.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think that's where I'm gonna land too, is that I enjoyed it. I thought the scene, like, there were scenes that made me laugh. There were some charming scenes to it. I do wish that there was a sort of a different ending. That I feel like a lot of these sports movies sort of end at the climax, and I always want there to be falling action. But I'm gonna say it does hold up. It's not a perfect movie, but you're definitely gonna have some fun watching this.
So again, to end, can we all do our best Big Green Goat?
Well, actually, I just want to say the last note I had is, remember orange slices? Remember playing soccer as a kid and parent would always bring orange slices? I saw that and I was like, hell yeah,
orange slices. Yeah, it's Newt's mom has the orange slices. Yeah.
Because also before...
He's having a good time. That's before, what he says. I'm having a good time.
Before we even do our signing off, I also think it's funny because in the credits they show they have soccer advisors on this. And being a soccer player myself and a fan of soccer, the soccer scenes in this movie are very subpar to what I would expect for
children now.
But they're not.
Probably wasn't big in here.
If you were wondering what Lucas and I played a soccer team, and if you were wondering what we look like, we're pretty much the Big Green.
I agree, because when I was watching it, while I was watching it, I was like, oh, we should change your name to the Big Green, because this is like, we don't practice. We come in, compare like to, we are always like the Big Green compared to the other teams. Yeah, they're all like in uniform. We lose every time.
We're that team.
Who's your goalie?
I'm Larry.
The fear? The nightmare?
No, because I practiced before, but sometimes.
Who played soccer in elementary school or high school?
I did, Bo. I think all of us.
I did.
Yeah.
Elementary.
Well, you all did?
Elementary school, though. Yeah.
Were you not a real kid?
I played through high school, but I didn't play for my high school team. I played for a city team.
I did baseball.
Oh, that's why you're boring.
For a year. Yeah. And that was it.
Okay. Once.
Interesting.
Kick him out of here.
All right. Well, can we get Eric? I don't want to go first.
You go. I'll go first.
Okay. Ready?
Do four goats.
Big green.
I can't do that.
Big green.
Big green. All right, Lee, take a second.
Big green.
Dumb.
Watch this movie and see what you think.
Watch it.
Let us know.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening. Have a good one. Bye.
To hang with us, you gotta be initiated.
One day, one ordinary kid will be transported.
Come on!
To an extraordinary world beyond the boundaries of imagination. In this new world,
welcome to the other side.
You're really a newcomer?
Ruled by fear.
I want him alive! Go!
Houston, we have a problem.
He is the last hope to bring together five legendary warriors.
How's it going?
He is often a bit cranky.
Who use the forces of nature as their weapons.
Wood. Fire. Earth. Metal. And
water.
Now, the battle against the ultimate evil.
The answer lies with you.
Is about to begin.
Come out and play!
Touchdown.
Bye-bye. I can't leave them. They need me here.
You are invited to enter a remarkable world.
Yes!
Rock and roll!
Where nature is your weapon, but you are the ultimate warrior. Warriors of Virtue.